Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So welcome to today's Daf, which is Ervin Pehe. Says the Gemara in the last line of Daf Pei Dalet. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel as follows: Boyer shebein shtei chatzeris. We have a boyer, a water hole, situated between two courtyards. Rashi explains this as follows: you have a chatzer on the right, a chatzer on the left. In between, you have an alleyway, a mavi, to which they don't really have an access. They don't have a doorway to that mavi. All they have are windows. They have a window through which they would toss their pail out to the mavi here, to the alleyway, which has this burr in the ground. So they would use this mavi for the sake of the filling water from the burr. So this burr, which is shebein shtei chatzeris, between these two chatzeris, mufleges mikoisel ze arba, which is situated at a distance of 4 tfachim from the wall of this chatzer, umikoisel ze arba, likewise 4 tfachim away from the koisel of this chatzer. So you have a chatzer on the right, chatzer on the left, with an alleyway. And the burr right in that alleyway is situated at a distance of 4 tfachim from my wall and 4 tfachim from my friend's wall. So I have to toss out my pail through my window over to the 4 tfachim across to that burr and fill it with water in that manner. So what is that law? Can they both use this area? Yes, they can. Ze moitzi ziz kol shuhu umimali. So the fellow of this chatzer simply extends a ziz kol shuhu, a little ledge coming out of his window towards the burr. Umimali, and this allows him to toss his pail out and to fill water from the burr. Vizem moitzi ziz kol shuhu umimali, and likewise the fellow on the other side sticks out a small ledge, and this allows him to fill from this burr. Rashi explains that since this mavi is not an area through which they walk, they don't have access to that mavi. Aside from using it to fill the water, it's not a proper makim shimush. It's not an area through which they walk, and therefore, that's considered to be shimush derech avir. It's using the mavi via its airspace. It's not a proper use. It's not a proper usage area. They simply toss their pails out into the airspace of this mavi and fill water in that manner. So since it's not considered to be a properly used area, it's not an area which has joint usage for these two chatzeres, and therefore does not require an erev chatzeres to allow them to fill their pails from the water in this burr. If that's the case, what's the point of the ziz kol shu? So Rashi explains that halachically speaking, really there shouldn't be a problem here, but the chachamim required them to make some sort of indication, a hecker, to bring out the point that, look, generally speaking, we're not meant to use the same area without an erev. Right? Generally, a joint area of usage requires an erev. So that's the point of the ziz, to indicate that, generally speaking, we're not meant to use the same area together without an erev. So extending that ziz is sort of a message. This is my area, this is my space, I'm using it because it's mine. And likewise, that fellow does the same. So this will sort of spread the message, bring out the point that you can't just use areas, you can't just use joint usage areas without an erev, without taking care of this concept of erev. So that's the point of the ziz. It's just some sort of indicator that one is meant to take care to be on top of things when you go ahead and use an area of joint usage. So that's the halacha that Rav Yehuda quotes Shmuel, that although they are using derech aver, they're not actually using the ground below, they're not walking on it, it's simply airspace usage. But some sort of indicator is required, which is the ziz kol shu that is required to be extended out onto this mavi, which allows them to toss their pails out and fill the water from this bar. Says Rav Yehuda didei Amar, and Rav Yehuda himself, the one who was quoting this halacha, he himself said, afilu. So here was Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, who used the term ziz koshu. Now Rabbi Yehuda the day Amar, he himself added, afilu kanya. You don't really need a ziz, which is perhaps a more permanent fixture. It's affixed to the wall, or perhaps it's larger in size. Even a kanya, even a reed, a pole, which is more temporary in nature or smaller in size, not so visible, that's enough to provide that indicator to allow you to go ahead and use this pit. Amalei Abaya Rav Yosef. So Abaya asked Rav Yosef like this. He told him like this. Had Rav Yehuda d'Shmuel. D'Shmueli. This statement that Rav Yehuda told us, we know that Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. So Abaya told Rav Yosef, apparently, this halacha that Rav Yehuda told us is actually Shmuel Shita. So the Gemara at this point figured that Abaya never heard that he was actually quoting Shmuel. All he heard was that Rav Yehuda told us a halacha. We have this joint mavi through which they want to use the bar. Then they have to go ahead and extend this ziz or this kana. He didn't hear that he was quoting in the name of Shmuel. It was Abaya's observation. Apparently, this is Shmuel's shita. Why? The Shmueli, the Eid the Rav, because otherwise, if it would be Rav shita, his other Rebbe, it wouldn't work. Why? Ha'amar, because Rav told us, Ein Adam Oyser al Chaveiro Derech Avir. A person has no ability to interfere with his friend, to impede his friend's usage, Derech Avir, if it's only airspace usage, which is not significant, has no prominence. It's not considered to be a proper use. It was only through the airspace. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda requires some sort of indicator here, ziz or okana, that indicates that even usage through airspace, such as in this case where they have to toss their pails out, it's at a distance. We said it was four tfachim away from their window. So you're tossing it out at a distance. That's considered to be derech aver. You're not using the immediate space right near your window. Using it at a distance is considered to be derech aver. That's not proper usage. So when Rabbi Yehuda tells us that we need to have some sort of indicator to allow that use, apparently he holds that even using something derech aver is significant enough that should two people do it in the same area, it's considered to be jointly using that area. And that's why we need some sort of indicator, a ziz or a kana. But according to Rav, that wouldn't be required at all. Because Rav said, "Ein adam oyser al chaveiro derech aver." Mere airspace usage is not reckoned with. Unless you're using the ground, it's absolute usage. This doesn't have any significance, and it's not called real shimush, and there would be no interference, even if two people use the same area. So this was Abaye's comment to Rav Yosef. Says the Shmuel Mehecha. How do we know that Shmuel holds that that Avir is something to be reckoned with? Meaning, Abaye is making this assumption that Shmuel holds Avir is to be reckoned with, and Rav holds it's not to be reckoned with. Where did Abaye know? From which statement, from which halacha of Shmuel, that Abaye derive that Shmuel holds Avir is something to be reckoned with? Ud Shmuel Mehecha, from where? Ilei mehod Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Was it from that halacha that Rav Nachman quoted Shmuel? We learned this yesterday. Gaga Samach Rishus Rabim. You have this rooftop, which is within 10 tefachim to Rishus Rabim. Tzorach Sulam Kabola Atiroi. In order for the owner to regain control of that rooftop, so we consider it a proper Rishus Yachid, he needs to affix a permanent ladder going up from his house up to the rooftop, which extricates the rooftop from the control of Rishus Rabim, because apparently they're using it. And the one is assuming that, Tosfos explains that it's Derech Aver, because you can't get close to the wall. There's some barriers near the wall, which doesn't allow the wagons, etc., to get there. So when he puts his heavy load onto this rooftop, Tosfos explains it's probably sitting on a pole, and he tosses the pole with the heavy load onto the rooftop, so it's considered to be use at a distance, Derech Aver. And Rav Nachman tells us the name of Shmuel, that unless this owner regains control of this rooftop by placing the ladder there, this rooftop is somewhat considered to be connected and part of Rishus HaRabim, due to the fact that they use the rooftop. But how do they use it? Derech Aver. It's merely at a distance. It's airspace usage. So was this the source of Abaye? That that Shmuel indeed holds that Aver has significance? Says the Gemara, perhaps Dilma could have Papa. You can't arrive from there, because perhaps they actually use it directly. As Rav Papa told us yesterday, they place their hat and jacket on it, which is direct usage. It's not something which they toss at a distance, they just place it right there from close by. So it's considered to be immediate use, and not Aver. So you have no right from there that Shmuel holds that Aver is considered to be a proper usage. Elo meha, rather from the following halacha. Zem moitzi zis kol shu umemali. Vizem moitzi zis kol shu umemali. This was actually the halacha we just began the daf with. Rav Yehuda quoted Shmuel that if we have this bur, which is situated at a distance from the two chatziris, four tfachim away, in which case they are compelled to use this bur derech avir, what happens? The fact that they both use it, it interferes. And the only way they can use it is if they extend this zis kol shu, this indicator which allows them to access this bar. Time of the apik. So that's only because he extended the ziz, which allows him to access this bar. Holy apik, but without this indicator, Arminan, we say you can't use it. Adam Yisrael Chaver Derech Aver. A person will interfere with his friend, cause Isser, even if it's only airspace usage that we're speaking about. So as Rashi explains, certainly, Abaye heard that Yehuda attributed the halacha to Shmuel, just as we have in our Gemara, Amar Vidamar Shmuel. Abaye was merely trying to say like this, that his point was that when Rabbi Yehuda added, he added that you can even use a kana, right? We began the Gemara that you need to have a ziz. But then Rabbi Yehuda did day Amar, he said, look, even a reed, something flimsy, something temporary is sufficient. So Abaye was merely making a point as follows. Don't think that Rabbi Yehuda was disagreeing with Shmuel. He was merely coming to add and explain Shmuel's halacha. So the entire statement of Rabbi Yehuda from beginning to end is really Shmuel's shita. That's the point he was making. So when Abaye approached Rabbi Yosef and said, this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda taught us is Shmuel's, his point was that even the addition, even the fact that you can use a kana, is really also Shmuel's shita. Rabbi Yehuda was just coming to expound, not to disagree. And the point again is that according to Shmuel, Aver is considered to be a proper Shemesh, whereas according to Rav, that's not considered to be a proper Shemesh. And you wouldn't have to have anything protruding into the Mavi as an indicator to matter the use. Says Gemara, how do we know? Udu Rav Mehecha. How do we know that according to Rav, Aver doesn't have to be reckoned with? E Lema Maha, is it from the Mishnah? We discussed this yesterday. Shteig Zestroyz Zulamala Mezu. We have these balconies which extend over water. So they would have the opening in the balcony through which they would lower their pail down to the water below. And the water below is a karmelis, of course. So the only way you can draw water from the karmelis up to the balcony, which is Erishas HaYachid, Chacham required them to make a mechitza. So you have the balcony of the water, and you have an opening. You make a mechitza around that opening, either above the opening or suspended below it, and that would create an enclosed area. We view those mechitzas as though they extend downward to the water, and when you're lowering your pail within the confines of that mechitza, it's as though you're drawing water from Rishis HaYachid, and it's okay. So if we have two balconies, Zu Lamala Mezu, situated at different levels, one below the other. Now, they're not directly one on top of the other, they're misaligned, so you have one high, one low, but they're a bit off to the side. Asu mechitza l'yoyna. Now let's say they made a mechitza for the upper balcony. Asu mechitza l'tachtoyna. However, they didn't make a mechitza for the lower balcony. In which case, the fellow on the upper balcony merely lowers his pail through his opening down to the water below. That's called derech shulshul. Whereas the fellow from the lower balcony, he needs to go ahead and toss his pail upward over the balcony into that opening and lowers it to the water below. What did the Mishnah tell us? Shteyan asuris, achi arvu. Both of them, the members of the upper and lower balconies, cannot use the opening of the upper balcony, Achi Arvo, until they make an Erev. We discussed this yesterday. We're speaking where the mechitzas were built, where they both contributed to the cost of the mechitzas, so it's a jointly owned contraption. And since they both access the same area, they need to make an Erev to allow its use. So the Mishnah, so far we discussed the Mishnah. V'amar Rav Huna Marav. Rav Huna told us in the name of Rav to explain this Mishnah, Loishanu. This halacha, this Shtein Asuris, the fact that since they're both using it, they need to have an Erev, otherwise they can't use it. Loishanu, this is only said El Bismucha, when the balconies are more or less aligned with each other. Meaning, although they're on different levels, 10 tefachim apart, but horizontally, they're within 4 tefachim. Aval b'muflegas arba, but if they're 4 tefachim apart, so they're horizontally removed 4 tefachim from each other, in which case the tachtoina, the lower balcony, needs to toss his pail up and across and over. It's a long journey. Aval b'muflegas arba, in that case, elyoina muteras. The upper balcony can use his opening, v'tachtoina asura, and the bottom one can't. So what do we see here? That since there's a 4 tefach discrepancy horizontally, they're misaligned 4 tefachim, which would require the lower balcony to toss his pail, not just upward, but also across. Those 4 tefachim across, that's called derech avir. Across, away from you, that's through airspace. And therefore, we say that the tachtoina doesn't really have control here, doesn't have proper use. So it doesn't have to be reckoned as part of the equation. And this is Rav Huna in the name of Rav. And therefore he says the Elyoina has exclusive rights to that opening. He's not impeded by the Tachtain, who can only access it by way of airspace. Airspace usage, it's not reckoned with. So we seem to have a quote, a source, that Rav holds Shimush Derech Avir doesn't have to be reckoned with. And perhaps this was the source, halacha, from which Abaye derived that Rav holds Shimush Derech Avir is not important. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, is this a riot? Why? Dil Moshani Hacha, perhaps. In this case, it's different. Why? Because the fellow on bottom has such an inconvenient access route to get to the opening on top. He needs to go ahead, throw upward, sideways, and then lower it down through the hole. So it's with difficulty, with extreme difficulty, that he can use that that contraption, and therefore, since it's hard for him to get there, but it's easy for the fellow on top, kivan, the kiva and the lezeb is rikav eshulshul. For the fellow in the lower balcony, it involves throwing upward, sideways, and also lowering through the hole. So it's a long way to get there. In contrast to the fellow on the upper balcony, who has rather easy method of usage. Ulzeba Shosho. Luchudei, for him it's merely lowering it through his opening. If that's the case, since it's much more easily accessible to the fellow in the upper balcony, so we know that when we have a landmark, a service area which is close to one and situated a distance from the other, it's directly accessed by one. And with difficulty to the other fellow, we learned that earlier, who gets exclusive rights for Shabbos? The one that has direct usage. If that's the case, it's like the case where you have this space, you have a landmark, a pole, a post between the two chatzeres, which is accessed by one bepesach, meaning directly, it's a level to his chatzer, versus the other one who has to throw it, toss upward because it's 10 tefach above his surface. What happens there? We know that for a fact. We learned that back on Pegimel Beis. Who gets exclusive rights? The fellow who has direct usage. So that's perhaps a pshat here. Then we have these two balconies, which are not just situated at different levels, but also misaligned, moved away horizontally from each other. Now it's pretty inconvenient for the fellow on the bottom to make use of it. He has to toss his pail upward and sideways and then down the hole. Versus the fellow on the upper balcony simply lowers his pail through the opening. So for him, it's relatively direct versus the fellow on the lower balcony. So perhaps that's why he gains exclusive rights and the fellow on bottom doesn't interfere. So at any rate, you don't really have a right from here to the general concept of whether or not airspace is reckoned with. This is a unique situation. We have this equation. So this one it's with ease, this one with extreme difficulty. So perhaps that's why he gets rights. But generally speaking, conceptually, is airspace usage reckoned with? Such in the case of the Shtei Chatzeres, with the Bur in between. And they both toss their pails out to the Bur. So they both have Shimush Derech Aver. So it's equally inconvenient to both of them, right? They're both having the same type of usage. So perhaps Rav would agree in that case that, yeah, airspace usage is considered to be Shimush. And perhaps he would agree that you would have to have a Ziz, this indicator, to mitigate that concern and allow usage. You have no raya from this case of the balconies to the discussion of the Bur and Shtei Chatzeres discussed in Al Gemara. So getting back to Abaye, who assumed that this halacha won't conform with Rav, because Rav doesn't hold of Shimish Aver, where was his source for this halacha? How do you know that that's Rav Shita? Says Me'elamah, rather from the following halacha. The Omar of Nachman, Omar Rav Baravua, Omar Rav. He quoted Rav regarding the following case. What if you have Shtei Batim V'Shalosh Churvos Binehem? You have a house on one side, house on the other, and you have three churvos, dilapidated, uninhabited, partially breached homes, between these two inhabited homes. So you have a home on the right belonging to Reuven, a home on the left belonging to Shimon. As the Gemara later will describe this, you had a churva next to the home on the right, next to Reuven's home, which is accessible to him. Now, although he doesn't have an entranceway to that churva, Rashi says he has a window through which he would lower something into the churva, use it for storage. He lowers something to the immediate area, or he tosses something to the other side of the churva, but he makes use of that first churva, which is situated right next to his home. And then we have another churva next to that, which is close to Shimon's home. So Shimon has access to that churva as well. He lowers something through the window. He throws something throughout that churva. And then we have a third churva, which is situated behind these two churvas, which is like a tripod. So it extends from Reuven's house all the way to Shimon's house. It's one churva that backs those two churvas. So again, a home on the right, a home on the left. A churva next to the home on the right. Right next to it is another churva, which is right next to the home on the left, side by side. Then behind those two churvas, you have a third one, but it's a single large one, which goes from the house on the right all the way to the house on the left. So what does Rav tell us? Is that Reuven, who lives on the right, can use the churva, which is right next to him, because it's designated for him. He has convenient access to that churva. Shimon on the other side doesn't really access this churva. He can only access it by means of throwing, because it's situated far away from him. Therefore, Reuven has exclusive rights to this churva. He doesn't need to have an eruv. Likewise, Shimon can use the churva, which is situated right next to his house, to which he puts his stuff in and through the window. And the fact that Reuven, only on the other side, can perhaps use that churva through throwing, that's called derech aver. It's at a distance, by airspace, that's not reckoned with. And therefore, Shimon gets exclusive rights to the churva, which is situated right next to his home. It says the Gemara, Shnei Batim v'Shalosh Churvos Beinehem. You have these two homes with three churvas situated between them, like a tripod. One next to each home, and a third one behind those two small ones. That third one stretches all the way from one house to the other. So what is Allah? Zeh mishtamish b'samach shaloi. Adezrika. Reuven can use the churva, which is right next to his house. He can lower things through the window, or he can throw things around the churva. V'zeh mishtamish, And likewise, Shimon could be mishtamish b'samach shaloi in the churba, which is situated right next to him. Ah, there's Rika. So as Rashi explains, through lowering, could lower something through the window, or if he wants to place something throughout that first churba at a distance from the window, so I'll throw it. So these churbas are designated to these respective homes. V'emtsoi asur, however, the middle churba, the one in the back, which extends from one house to the other, since it's adjacent to both homes, it adjoins both of these homes, they both have equal access, and therefore it's an area of joint usage, and unless they make an Erev, they cannot use it. So what do we see from here? Why can Reuven use the churva next to his house without interference from Shimon? Although Shimon perhaps uses it via airspace, via throwing something from a distance. Apparently airspace is not a proper use. It doesn't interfere. And therefore he can't undermine Reuven's control of that churva. The same thing with Shimon. Why does he get exclusive rights to his churva? Why don't we say, well, Reuven perhaps tosses some things at a distance into that churva next to Shimon. Apparently Avir is not a proper shimush. And here we have a source that Rav holds that Ein Adam Oysar Chaver Derech Avir. A person can't cause Isar merely through airspace usage. It says the Gemara, Yosef Rabbruna V'Ka'amar L'Hashmait. Rabbruna was sitting and saying over this halacha in the name of Rav. Amalei Rabbi Lezer Bar B'Rav. So Rabbi Lezer, the Ben HaYeshiva, responded to him, Amar Rav Hochi? Did Rav really say this? Amalei Yin? So he said, yeah, certainly. Ach V'Lu Shpize. So he says, can you show me where he lives? I want to ask him a question. Achvile, so he showed him where he lives. Also, kamei de Rav. So this person, Rabbi Lezer, approached Rav. Omele, he told him, Omar Mar Hochi, the master, did you say this? So Rashi explains that Rabbi Lezer misunderstood the configuration. He thought that the bias on either side, with the three churvas in between, was situated as follows. You have a bias from Reuven on one side, Shimon has a bias on the left side, and there are three churvas lined up in a straight line running from one house to the other. Now, he misunderstood the halacha. He figured, okay, so what is Rav saying? The churva next to Reuven's house belongs to Reuven. Next to Shimon's house belongs to Shimon. But the churva in the middle is asur on both of them, right? Hemtsoi asur. Now, how do they both use the hemtsoi? Through throwing, right? Because it's situated at distance from either home. It's derech aver. So apparently, shimush derech aver is oyser. That's how he understood the halacha. Rav apparently holds even airspace usage is considered to be a proper usage. So since that middle churva is accessed by both, by the residents of both homes, via airspace usage, that's considered to be a jointly used area and requires an Erev. That's how he understood. Just the opposite of the way we understood Rav. He understood that Avir is Eisen. If so, how did he explain the other aspect of this halacha? The churva next to Reuven's home is granted to him. The churva next to Shimon's home is granted to Shimon. Why is that? Why don't we have to reckon with the neighbor on the other side who perhaps uses the churva through Avir, meaning the churva next to Reuven's home? Sure, it's more conveniently accessed by Reuven, who simply lowers his item through the window. But Shimon, all the way on the other side, can perhaps toss something all the way across the three churvas into the churva next to Reuven's home. That's called Shimush Derech Avir. So, how do you work this out? On the one hand, you say that airspace usage is considered to be proper usage. And therefore, the middle churva, which is accessed by both residents through airspace, is considered to be a joint usage area. And therefore, it's asur without an Erev. And on the other hand, you say that the churva next to the home, next to Reuven's home, for instance, is mutter to Reuven, not to Shimon, despite the fact that Shimon tosses items through the airspace. Because airspace is not reckoned with. How do you work that out? It must be, this is the way he understood, that although airspace is considered to be a shimush, but since Reuven has more convenient access, he accesses the churva next to his home with more ease than Shimon, who has to come all the way through the other churvas, toss something all the way through that airspace. So when we have an equation where one person accesses it with ease and the other one with difficulty, Reuven with shulshul, he just simply lowers through the window into the churva, and Shimon through zrika, he has to throw all the way across the churvas, then who gets rights? The one that has easier access. In this case, it's Reuven, who simply lowers through his window into the churva. Now, if that's the way we understand this halacha, then it's completely inconsistent with Rav's own shita stated earlier. Rav told us that we have a landmark, we have a post, a hill, which is accessed by two territories, two chatzeres. It's accessed by one derech shulshul, through lowering, and from the other territory through zrika, by tossing upwards. Where is halacha going to Rav? We learned this earlier in that Pegimol. Rav holds shulshul, zrika, it's one and the same. Although shulshul is, yeah, it's a bit easier to use something by lowering, by hanging down to the surface below. You have more control of the item. It's definitely easier and more convenient than tossing upwards where you lose control, it's out of your hands. Nevertheless, Rav disagreed with Shmuel there, right? Shmuel held the shulshul is superior and it's preferred, but Rav said it's really out of your makom, it's 10 tefach away, whether above or below, it doesn't matter. Shulshul and zrika have the same halach, and we don't grant that landmark, that surface area, to the one who has shulshul versus the one who has zrika. That was Rav Shita there. So how can he say otherwise in this case? This was all part of this Rabbi Lezer, the yeshiva man's kasha. Right? He misunderstood the whole story. He was assuming that we're speaking about two homes which are separated with three churvas lined up as a straight line. The middle one is asr because they both use the derech avir. So avir is oisr. The ones on the side are mutter to each respective owner because it's closer to him and he can use the derech shulshul, which is with relative ease versus the other fellow who has to throw all the way across to use that. So therefore he gets exclusive rights because shulshul versus zrika gets priority. If that's the case, he had a kasha. It's inconsistent with Rav Shita, who never grants priority to shulshul versus zrika. This is why Rashi explains the background to his challenge, his kasha. So Rabbi Elazar visited the home of Rav, and Amar Mar Hachi, did the master say this? Amar Le in, says, yeah. Amar Le, so he told him, V'amaru the Amar, but yourself said, when you have one area which is accessed by one person through shulshul, which is with relative ease, and to the other fellow, it's accessed only by tossing upward, which is relatively more difficult, they're both also to use that joint area without an eruv. So you don't grant preference, priority to the shulshul versus the zrika. So why is our case different? Why do you allow Reuven to use the churva next to his home simply because he accesses it with more ease than Shimon? Amar Leis, Rav responded, you have to reconfigure the story here. Mik Savris de Kaimi Kishur, do you think the churvas were lined up in a straight line? No, lie, the Kaimi Kachatsuva. They were situated like a tripod. As we discussed earlier, you had a house on the right, house on the left, a churva next to the right house, a churva next to the left house, and then a third churva right behind them. And that third churva, indeed, stretched from one house all the way to the other. There's no avir there. They both have direct access. Reuven and Shimon have direct access to that third churva. Therefore, it's considered to be a jointly used area and requires an eruv. Because I certainly hold that Shimush derech avir is not reckoned with. If you need to use an area simply by airspace, by throwing, that's not considered to be a proper usage. The churva here is situated close to those homes. So they can just lower things through the window. It's direct use. It's not airspace. And therefore, it's also. That also explains why Reuven can use the churva next to his home, because he uses it directly. And there's no interference from Shimon all the way on the other side. He could only access it through airspace. Airspace is not reckoned with. Likewise, Shimon can use the home, the churva next to his house, which he accesses directly. And there's no interference from Reuven coming all the way from the other side and using derech aver, because once again, aver is not oiser. So this indeed is the raya that Rav holds, that ein adam oiser schaveroi derech aver. So getting back to Abayis, conversation with Rav Yosef, he said, look, apparently Rav Yehuda, who contended that shimush derech aver is considered to be a shimush, such as in the case of the boyer, which was positioned between two chatziris at a distance from those walls, four tavach away, to which they have to toss their pails outward, four tvachim outward, which is considered to be shimush derech aver. So Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel that it's not so simple. You have to do something to allow its use, because shimush derech aver has to be taken into account. So Rabbi, apparently this is Shmuel shit, because Rav, who is the other Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda, does not hold that aver is oisin. Where do we see that Rav holds aver is not reckoned with? In this last halacha, with the churvus. Continues the Gemara. Amar li Rav Papa li Rav. So we just learned that according to Shmuel, shimush derech aver has prominence, is considered to be shimush. Lema, shall we say, if that's the case, Shmuel less le Rav Dimi? Shmuel does not conform to Rav Dimi's halacha. Which halacha? The chiyas Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said as follows in the name of Rav Yechanan. Mokoyim she'em boy dalad adalad. If we have a surface area which is less than 4 by 4 tefachim, which is considered to be a makam tur, it's a tashmish garua. It's not a properly sized area which is suitable for proper use. It's too small. And the Gemara is going to assume that it's like avir, it's like airspace. It's as though it's mold air. It's not down on the ground, it's not firm territory, it's not a properly sized area. It's a makam tur. So what is that halacha? Mutal of Nevi Shesarabim, Ulev Nevi Shesayachal, the Katef Olof. So if it's positioned next to the Shesarabim and Shesayachal, they both can use it. The Katef Olof, to place their loads on it, because it's bottle to this Rishus and to that Rishus. Uvavach Le'achlifu, provided they don't switch their loads. Meaning, the fellow from Shesarabim, who places his load on this small-sized surface, that load should not be carried over to Shesayachin. It's a gzera for concern that it might appear like they're transferring from one Rishus to the other, and this will lead to perhaps the Melach of Itza. In any case, we see that this small-sized area, which is considered to be like aver, like airspace, doesn't provide proper usage, is considered to be obsolete and bottle. You don't have to reckon with it. And this seems to be inconsistent with Shmuel tells us that even airspace usage has prominence, has significance, and has to be reckoned with. Says the Gemara, Hosam Rishuyos Deraisa. That was involving Rish Sayochad, Rish Sarabim, which involves Melachos Deraisa. In that case, yeah, it's batal. In contrast with our case of the boy which was between two chatzeres, Hocha Rishuyos Derabbanan, and involves two Rishis to Rabbanim, meaning they're both Rishis Sayachid. The Chatzah Rishis Sayachid, the Mabah Rishis Sayachid, the other Chatzah, everything Rishis Sayachid. It entails Issa Rabbanan, right? Erev is Issa Rabbanan. So when it comes to that context, we find that Chachamim were actually more strict. Chachamim also Chizik L'Divrayim, Yoyis Mishal Torah. Chachamim reinforced their words even more than pertaining to Melachis and Dinim of Torah. Torah explains that the standard Melach of Eitzah is very well known, and there's less reason for concern that people might do Melachis. Therefore, the Chacham allow themselves to be more lenient. So, for instance, when it comes to the Malkam Tur here, it's Batal, we don't have to worry about it. In contrast with our Halacha, which involved the Surim Derabbanan, which is not so well known, therefore, the Chacham had to go ahead and make added reinforcements and safeguarding measures to ensure the integrity and the kiyum of the dinim derabbanan. Therefore, even when it comes to a shimush derech aver, they were more strict and they required at least present some sort of indicator, a ziz, a kana, and only then can you use that joint area. Omalei ravina l'rava. Mi amar rav hachi. did Rav say that airspace is not considered to be a proper shimush? For itma, we learned shnei batim shnei tzidush suravim. If a person owns two homes, one on either side of the street, Rav Barav Huna Omar Rav. Rav Barav Huna said in the name of Rav, also lizruk mizelazer. One is not allowed to throw from one house to the other. Apparently, the Gemara is assuming the reason is because you're throwing it through the airspace. So although it's above 10 tefachim from Rishus Rabim, but since the Bnei Rishus Rabim make use of the airspace even above 10 tefachim, it's considered to be using a jointly used area. Therefore, you can't throw across. Now, we're speaking about using airspace. Apparently, Rav reckons with airspace as well. You could throw from one house to the other. So in any case, we see that Rav holds that Avir is considered to be a proper shimush. Now, Rashi points out that the Shmuel Shita is not really a kasha on Shmuel by us, meaning if he holds that Avir is considered to be a shimush, why over there does he allow? So Rashi says, because we just said, when it comes to Rishi's Deiraisa, even Shmuel agrees that Avir doesn't have to be reckoned with. So the kasha is strictly on Rav. And now where we see that Avir is not called shimush, and over there, he doesn't allow throwing through Rishus Rav. Amarlei, so Rav responded, it's not related to the concern of using the Aver, the jointly used area. The concern there is entirely unrelated. Amarlei, lav miyukimna, haven't we interpreted and established that halacha to be speaking in a case where dimidli chad, that one of those homes is actually on a higher elevation, umitasi chad, and the other one is actually lower. And then there's a concern due to their misalignment, the fact that they're on different levels, perhaps when tossing from one to the other, he'll miss his target. Zimna de meganda v'nafal. Perhaps at times the item will roll away and fall into Rishus Rav, v'asul yisui, he'll be tempted to go bring it from Rishus Rav to the home, which involves a melacha, and therefore Rav doesn't allow it. But it's unrelated to the question of Aver, where certainly Rav holds that Shimush Derech Aver is not Oyser. So in conclusion, according to Shmuel, Shimush Derech Aver is Oyser, when it involves Rishus Rabbana, that's why the bar between two chatziris, which is actually at a distance, four tefach distance from the wall, which involves shimush derech aver, is not allowed to be used unless there's some sort of indicator. They need to bring out the moitzi ziz, extend this ledge or this reed, which serves as an indicator and allows them to go ahead and use that bar. According to Rav, shimush derech aver is not oiser. That's why we have the two homes with the three churvas. Each fellow can use the churva, which is right next to his house, without any concern of interference from his neighbor across, which only has access through Avir. Continues the Mishnah. Now we know that the collection of the food for the sake of Erev Chatzeres is meant to incorporate all the members of the Chatzer, merge them into one residency, into one dir. Because otherwise, when you transfer something from your own home, which is your personal space, into the joint area, the Chatzer, it appears like switching Rishuyas and can be confused with Rishus Yaakov and Rishus Rav. Therefore, the collection of food is necessary to go ahead and incorporate them all into one, make it into all one resident, and now there's no differences between houses and chatziris because it's all one family. And therefore, you can transfer freely from the houses to the chatzir. The Shita Mavois, which is collecting from the chatziris, to allow them to use the Mavoi, works in similar fashion. Because now you join together all the users of the outdoor areas. For otherwise, when you transfer from the chatzer, which is designated for these people, into the mavi, which is a area designated for everybody, all the chatzeris use it equally, once again it appears like a shinui rishus, taking from one type of area to another. So the shita mavois, collecting that food from all the chatzeris, merges them all together, creates one user for the entire area. Now there's a difference where you're going to place the Erev Chatzeres, which must be in a home in a Malkum Dira, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to create that home as the joint place of residence for all the members of the Chatzer. So the Erev Chatzeres food needs to be strictly placed in a Malkum Dira, versus the food of the Yeshiva Mavois, which can be placed out in the open, out in the Chatzer, because you're not trying to create a home, you're trying to merge the users, the outdoor area users. That can be placed in the outdoors as well. Says the Mishnah, Anoisin Nisei Ruvoi. If a person places the Erev Chatzeres food, Bevei Shar, in this gatehouse, which serves as a walk towards the entranceway into the chatzer. It's not a place of suitable for residency. Achsadra, or in this outdoor, this covered roofed area, which is not a makam dira, or pesas, or this porch, ain't a eriv. The eriv is invalid because the eriv material needs to be placed strictly in a place suitable for dira. Likewise, v'adorsham, if somebody chooses to live in any of these locations, ain't a isra lov. He doesn't make it usr on the other members of the chatzah. He doesn't have to contribute to the eriv because he's not living in a proper place of residence. In contrast to a beis ha-tevin, this hay storage house, or beis ha-bakar, this barn, or beis ha-etim, beis ha-etris, places used for storage of wood or other types of produce. So although there's actually nobody living there, but it's suitable for dira, it's a properly constructed structure. How is the eriv? So you place the eriv material there, it works. V'hadar sham oiser. A person chooses to live in these places, it's considered to be a proper dira, and he must contribute to the eriv, otherwise he interferes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh sham tfisas yad shel bal habayis, ein oiser. You might know as follows. If a person rents out property, so the landlord still has something in that property. Yesh sham tfisas yad shel bal habayis. He has some sort of hold, some sort of grip in the rental property. He has his kelim in there. So he hadn't really completely given it away. It's considered as though he's still living there. Any oiser, and the person living in there does not interfere with the other members of the chatzah. He doesn't have to contribute to the eriv because it's as though the bal habayis is still living there. And as long as the bal habayis contributes, that covers all his properties. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, braid Rav Shmuel Bashilas. Kol makam she'amru chachamim, hadar sham eni oiser. All these places that the chachamim consider to be unsuitable for dira, and therefore a person lives in there, he's not oiser on the name of it. For instance, the Beishar, the Achsadr, or Pesas. Likewise, hanois and they say ruvein eiriv. If a person places his eiriv material in that place which is unsuitable for dira, doesn't work. Chutz, except for one place. If you have a gateway leading into a chatzer occupied by one resident, then we have a split. So although if a person lives there, decides to actually live in this place, it's not considered to be a proper residency, and he's not oisin. However, should they choose to place their eriv material in that beishar de yachid, it works. So if it's a beishar de rabim, if it's traversed and accessed by many people who are going into this chatzer, which many people reside, then you can't place an eriv there regardless. But if it's a beishar de yachid, it's only accessed by one resident, because this chatzer only contains one resident, then if they place their eriv there, it works. Now, why would one person require eriv? Apparently, we're speaking where he wants to connect to the chatzer next door. So this joint eriv can be placed in the Beis Shad Yachid. Chazanish explains, once they place the food there, they have established this Beis Shad as a true makam dira. This becomes the primary place of residence for all. So they've changed its status from a non-residential place to a place of residence. So it's going to work. So that's the first element of Rabbi Yehuda Breid of Shmuel Bashilas' statement. Number two, V'chal makam she'amr chachamim ein manicha be'erev. Whatever the chacham said is unsuitable. It's an unsuitable location for the erev, a place which is not a makam dira. That's with regards to the erev. But manicha be'shitav, the shitav you can place there because it doesn't need to be in a makam dira. Except chutz me'avir mavi, except for out in the open in the mavi, which is an unprotected, unsecured area. Therefore, it's unsuitable for the sheet of material as well. Says the Gemara, Ma'ik Mashmon, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda? Both elements, both parts of his statement, we've already learned now Mishnah. Tanina, we learned it now Mishnah. Hanoisin is a ruvoi, ve'shar achsadur pesas any erev. If a person places the erev chatziris in all these non-residential areas, doesn't work. So here we have the first element of review the statement, that Erev needs to be in a place of residence. Now we have an inference, we have a diak. Erev hu delo yavi. Yeah, the Erev doesn't work because it needs a makam dira. Ha shitav avi. But if you place a shitav in any of these areas, it would work. Because that doesn't need a makam dira. So this is the second element of review the Beit of Shmuel Bashilas' statement, and that too seems to be included in our Mishnah. That Erev needs to have a makam dira versus Shita, but it doesn't need. Says the Gemara, yeah, but there are two added details that he taught us that we didn't know from the Mishnah. Beishar d'yachid, number one, that a private gate to house can work. Va'avir d'mavi, number two, that the open air of the mavi is unsuitable even for shittuf. It's strictly that he needed to teach us, which we wouldn't have known from our Mishnah. D'lo itzanan, that wasn't taught in our Mishnah. So in short, the Erev Chatzeres needs to be in a makam dira. The shittuf of voice can be even out in the open. Tani nami hochi, we learn likewise in a brisa. Hanoisin is a ruvoi. Veishar achsadu mepeses. If a person places an erev in a veishar achsadu mepeses ubechatzer ubemavi, how does the erev? It works. It says 1 second. How does it work? An erev? An erev needs to have a makam dira. Vatznan ein ze erev. Now, Mishnah, we learned that an erev chatzeres needs to be in a makam dira. Eimarei ze shituf. The brisa meant that the shituf of a voice can be placed in all these non-dira entities. So here we have a raya that shittim avoyis can be placed even in a non-makam dira. This is a raya to the halacha mentioned earlier. Says the Gemara, we'll take a closer look at this brisa that we just mentioned. We have a list of places which are suitable for the placement of the shittim. Beishar, achsadra, repeses, chatzar, and mavoy. Says the Gemara, mavoy? That's out in the open. Shittif and mavoy, lay minter. It's an unsecured place. You can't place the shittif out in the open air of the alleyway. How does the Bryce allow it? Eima b'chotzer shebamavoy. Read as follows. The Bryce is allowing b'chotzer ubamavoy. It's one scenario. It's one case. B'chotzer shebamavoy. Not chotzer separate and mavoy separate. Chotzer shebamavoy. You place it in the chotzer, which is a secured area. But you must make sure that it's the chatzar of this mavi, which is being incorporated, meaning you can't place the shittim of voice, which is being used to incorporate one mavi, in a chatzar which doesn't have access to that mavi. And this is within the neighborhood. That's what the Braisa is speaking about. Amar Avida Mashmo, b'nei chabura shayim usubin. You have some people experiencing a joint meal. V'kidesh alein hayayim, and Shabbos showed up. Pashal as-shulchan, the bread which is present on the table, being used for their joint meal, soimchen alein mishum iruv. They can use it for the iruv. Va'amila, some say mishum shittuf, for the shittuf of voice. Amar Rabba, v'lei pligi, there's no machlegis whatsoever. Depends on the situation. Kamba mesum b'bayis, when they're having a meal in a home, which is suitable for placement of iruv chatzeres, then the bread can serve as an iruv chatzeres. Kamba mesum b'chatzer, when sitting out in the chatzer, then the food can serve for the shittim of voice, because out in the chatzar, that's not a place to put the erev chatzeres. Over there, it can only serve for the shittim of voice. Amrle Abai l'Rabba, so Abai told Rabba, Tani de Masailach, I have a brisa which supports you, that a shittim of voice can be placed out in the open, in the chatzar. Eruv chatzeres b'chatzar, v'shittim of voice b'movi. That's the brisa. Erev chatzeres is in the chatzar, shittim of voice is placed in the movi. V'avinamo, we asked Akash on this brisa, what do you mean? Eruv chatzeres bechatzer? The Eruv chatzeres can be placed out in the open in the chatzer? Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hanoisin is Eruvai. Ubeishar. Achsadun repesses in the Eruv. If one places the Eruv chatzeres material in a non-residential place, it doesn't work. It needs to be strictly in a home. So what does the Braisa mean? Eruv chatzeres bechatzer. Ema explained the Braisa as follows. Eruv chatzeres bebayesh bechatzer. The Braisa means that Eruv Chatzeres needs to be placed in a home, but you must make sure it's in a home which is within this Chatzer, which is being incorporated. You can't place it in a Bayis, which is sitting in a different Chatzer. And when the Braisa says, V'shituvim v'voiz b'movi, it also means a similar concept. Shituvim v'voiz b'chatzer shebamovi. Shituvim v'voiz can be placed in the Chatzer, can be out in the open, doesn't need a home, but it needs to be b'chatzer shebamovi. A chatzah which is present in this, which accesses this mavi, as opposed to a chatzah which is in a different neighborhood, which you cannot place the shittim of voice from the other mavi. So indeed we have a riot to the concept that a shittim of voice can be placed in the chatzah and doesn't need to have strictly a home. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with Rabbi Yehuda quoting Shmuel, in the case where you have a boyer situated at a distance of 4 tefachim from either chatzar, they can both use the boyer, provided they extend a small-sized ledge towards the boyer, which sends a message, look, now we're just sharing airspace, but if you go ahead and share real property, you have to go ahead and make an Erev. And this is based on the fact that Shmuel holds that even airspace usage must be reckoned with somewhat when it comes to Rishus Rabbanim. Rav holds that Rech Aver is Eina Oyser, and therefore in the houses which are situated on both sides of those churvas, we allow the home to use the churva right next to it. He doesn't have to reckon with the fact that his neighbor all the way across tosses things into this house because that's only airspace usage, which is not Oyser. We learned that an Erev Chatzeres, which creates a joint Mokim Dira, must be placed in a place of residence, Beis HaTeven, Beis HaBakar, etc., but not in a place which is unsuitable for residence, Beis Shar, Derabim, Achsadr, or Pesis. A Shittim of voice can be placed anywhere except for the Avir Mavi, out in the open, and that alleyway which is unsafe and insecure. We learned that only a person who lives in a Mokim Dira has to contribute to the Erev. And if in your rental apartment, the landlord still has his utensils, it's considered to be still within his jurisdiction, and the tenant doesn't have to contribute to the Erev.